podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
From Autosport.com and Autosport Magazine, I'm Martin Lee, and this is the Autosport Podcast. The FIA, Formula One's governing body, has handed Red Bull Racing a $7 million fine and aerodynamic testing reductions after striking an agreement over its breach of Formula One's budget cap last year. The FIA revealed after the Japanese Grand Prix that both Red Bull and Aston Martin were in breach, putting them at risk of sanctions. Red Bull have fiercely denied that they broke the budget cap, but they did enter talks with the FIA to reach a settlement. Today we find out what exactly are the full financial and sporting penalties dished out, how it will impact Red Bull on the track, and what it means for teams who might breach the cost cap in the future. Let's get up to speed with Autosport.com's editor, Hayden Cobb. Hayden, welcome back to the podcast.
Thanks very much for having me. It feels like it's been a long time, so it's nice to be back. How are you doing?
Oh, good. Normally it's on a Sunday night show doing a race review, but this week we've got Luke and Codders. We've sent them to Mexico enjoying the 6 hours jet lag. Although not Luke, because he stayed out there.
Yeah, after he's fully acclimatized now.
Hey, it'd just be Codders that's, slightly sleepy on the first couple of days. But let's get into it. Look, this is huge news. Every F1 team has a budget cap for the team, things like engine program from 2021. They did do a dry run before it. So I've seen some people saying, well, this is the first time we've done it. You know, it's pretty Red Bull fans obviously saying, well, you kind of got to give them some leeway. There was a practice run, as it were. So it was the first time. Yes, last year it was being done for real. Following Japan, we found out Red Bull and Aston Martin were in breach. What's been the timeline since then?
So, yes. So both teams had basically the opportunity to either go into what is loosely called a sort of an agreement breach, where they sort of negotiate, if that is the right word, of what the penalty would be with from the FIA, or the second road in that fork is basically to fight it and state their case. But both teams were winning and offering to go into sort of the agreement breach pathway. So therefore they went into talks with the FIA on what sort of penalties they would be facing. We'll just quickly recap that it was a minor spending breach by Red Bull, which was under 5% of the total budget cap. And for Aston Martin, it was a procedural breach. So different types of breaches there.
And Williams had one of these already earlier in the year.
They did. They were late with submitting some paperwork during the year, and they got a $25,000 fine, I believe, off the top of my head. Yeah. So that's sort of where the ballpark was looking for procedural breaches, where Aston Martin, but Red Bull were obviously in a whole new world of actually breaking the cost cap. And so we got to the United States Grand Prix when talks were ongoing, but they were on Red Bull's behalf, at least they were paused after the death of Dietrich Mateschitz, and then resumed as they approached the Mexican Grand Prix. And as of Friday morning in Mexico, the penalties were announced and the full reasons behind it, and that's where we are right now.
We finally got news of Red Bull's punishment. It's both financial and sporting, which I partly mentioned in the intro. But can you fill us in on what Red Bull are facing and what the FIA have imposed on them?
Yeah, sure. So starting on the financial, it's a $7 million fine, fixed fine paid within 30 days to use the actual reading, but yeah, paid now.
It sounds like last time I got a speeding ticket.
Yeah, well, like,
this is the amount payable within 30 days.
It does feel like odd to get that included, but you know, it's always important with the details. So that's the financial side of it. The sporting side of it, which is probably the more crux and the key of it for Red Bull's point of view, is a 10% reduction on their aerodynamic testing. That's both wind tunnel and CFD time. And we already have this sliding scale of restrictions on aerodynamic testing, whereby the teams that are the most successful the year before have less percentage time to those at the back, with the idea of bringing the grid together. So as Red Bull are World Constructors Champions this year, they were already getting the least amount, which was going to be 70% of the seventh place team. Hope you're keeping up with me at home. So working out the maths of the 10% reduction, it actually means they're now on a 63% of their aerodynamic testing time. Now let's compare that to Ferrari, who, if they hold on to second place this year off compared to Mercedes, they'll get a 75% of the seventh place team. So it's a considerable margin that they have lost. And there's no two ways about it. But is it enough? Is it strong enough? Is it that? That's the sort of debate that is going to rage on, simply, and probably ask different people, and they'll give you different answers.
It's very Formula One thing, in true Formula One style, to make something massively complicated, but yet they picked seventh place in the Constructors' Championship that gets... That's like the baseline.
And the 100%, if you're listening
and thinking, like, there's more than seven teams, that is the baseline. So if you finish 8th, 9th, 10th, or if more teams enter, for instance, with new engine regs, doesn't look like it, but if there was an 11th team, you actually get more. So you get 105, 110, 115%. But then it works its way down. So 6th, 5th, 4th, as Hayden's mentioned, a reducing sliding scale. But yeah, 7th place is the benchmark, the baseline in terms of... And it actually kind of gets rejigged halfway through the season as well. But that's, like I say, very Formula One thing to make something that could be easy to understand and really overcomplicate it. Listen, couldn't Red Bull appeal this?
No, as we said earlier, like, because it was an agreed... a penalty, i.e. that they went into talks with the FIA, there's no... They sign away their right to appeal. They agreed to the penalty, so that's them done and dusted. Same with Aston Martin. So, no, that will be the penalty in its entirety, unless there's further breaches to come next year, which I'm sure all teams will be aware of not doing. That'll be it in terms of what penalties will be felt for the 2021 season.
So, I mean, the obvious question is, I think I should ask this on behalf of many of our listeners, and I think, you know, depending on whether you're a Red Bull fan or not a Red Bull fan, or even a neutral, will depend how you feel about the punishment. But as this was for overspending in 2021, and there's been that famous clip going around of Ross Brawn, although he works for Formula One, he doesn't work for the FIA, the governing body, there is that famous clip going around from a couple of years ago where he says, look, make no bones about it, or let's be clear, if you breach it, you lose your championship. Will any punishment be retroactively applied to the Red Bull cars which were racing illegally, you know, inverted commas? I'm not saying they didn't pass scrutineering. They were absolutely legal cars that passed every possible test at the races. But will there be a retroactive punishment as part of this?
No. It was in the scale and of the options of penalties. They could have gone full... disqualification from the championship, which was obviously the most extreme, to points deductions, to heavier fines, and sort of other areas within that. But this is what they've settled upon of a monetary fine and a sporting penalty that will be applied for the future rather than reactively. So that the results of the 2021 championship will remain unchanged.
The timeline of this is that the FIA... Well, actually, the timeline is Red Bull announced a press conference in the morning Mexico time. So we knew it was coming, or at least the timeline that I understood. Then the FIA published their document. We're recording this shortly after the Red Bull press conference has happened. And it's before FP1 when we're recording this, hence why we're not talking about any of the on-track action. But it turns out it wasn't just one or two things. We'd heard rumours, mainly coming out of Dutch media, some of our Dutch colleagues, but also sort of Dutch social media, and you kind of wonder, people in this whole situation using the sort of more friendly side of the Dutch media to sort of get a little bit of defense out there in advance. These kind of things happen in the media, and it's sort of more politics really than sport. But it's fascinating how this has become very political. And you know, weeks ago they were saying, "Well, look, it's just a catering issue. Don't worry about it. The cars weren't any faster." Well, it turns out there weren't just one or two issues. There was actually 13. Do you want to run us through them, or even the main ones?
I can do, and yeah, starting with the one that, at least in a light-hearted sense, and I know this is a very serious topic, made me smile, was the catering is as part of the breach, in terms of they overspent within that bracket of the team. Obviously, like you say, the main focus of what the spending would be will be on the car and the team personnel and equipment, but catering hospitality is within that. We do know that Red Bull like to go big with their catering and hospitality. That's what they're about. And full play, fair play to them. That is sales. It's marketing at the end of the day. That was part of it. We've also, into the sort of the very detail, which is nice that I sort of credit the FIA and Red Bull for releasing this. And they did say before it came out that they would be transparent and the reasons behind how these breaches have come out. And they haven't, of course. And breaking them down, it was employers' social security contributions, payments, things like that, costs of reporting in financial senses, bonuses, things a lot to do with your balance sheets, your taxes, your things that you don't think of. And this is where Horner's defence of it's not related to car performance, but things that all build up any business, not only a Formula One team.
And that makes sense, because you could put somebody on a, you know, 20 grand a year basic, but on 120 grand a year bonus, and Red Bull didn't include the bonuses for winning the championship in there. I remember talking to a Red Bull mechanic during the Vettel-Weber era, probably after that, I don't know, the third or fourth world championship, and because, you know, the team, everyone in the team, whether it's, I think the way Red Bull did it, they're a very inclusive organisation. I think everyone, literally from the overnight cleaners to Christian Horner, is on a win bonus if you win the championship, the teams, the constructors. And one of the engineers was saying, like, yeah, bought me a new kitchen this year. So, like, and that's probably, like, I don't know, 15, 20 grand. I don't know what you spent on a kitchen. I don't know. And that was many years ago, obviously. So the bonuses can be significant, and they weren't included in Red Bull's numbers. Anyway, sorry, carry on.
That's right, yeah. No, you are spot on there. And then sort of breaking it down further away from those sorts of financial costs, it was covering costs of power units. Now, obviously, with the Red Bull powertrains, wasn't an official thing last year. It was still a Honda engine as they were on their way out. That's quite interesting, and I'd be curious to see how that's gone wrong, as it were. But in terms of reporting, that's hasn't been strictly up to measure.
Because obviously with Honda, we know from the McLaren days, one of the things about that deal where McLaren chose it, because the Honda power unit was effectively free. Obviously, I know Honda, you know, someone pays for it. Yeah. And the last I heard, that deal had been carried over to Red Bull, as in that's what Honda bring. Honda bring the power unit. There wasn't a check being written as such from Red Bull to Honda every year. And so there's some confusion around getting something for, again, in inverted commas, free. Oh, sorry, carry on.
No, it's fine. And within that, of talking about the Red Bull powertrains, it was a cost involved in setting up that facility, not the full scale of it, but cost that would have impacted the 2021 season. So it's, as we've so said, we have covered it, and then travel costs, maintenance, things like that. It really does go quite in almost every area, from engines to sandwiches. So it's wide scale, and it has, if we sort of sum up the total Red Bull cost of exceeded the cost cap by £1.864 million, which in percentage terms of the total cost cap was 1.6% overspend. So it was in that, When the minor overspend was spoken about, that was going to be anything from 0 to 5%, or was it 0.1% to 5%? What was also interesting in the report that was released was Red Bull also got their tax and sums a little bit wrong, or form filling as well. I mean, trust me, I'm useless to these sorts of things, so I don't really blame them. But their notional tax credit was incorrectly applied. And so if it was correctly applied, the overspend would have been, and I will quote the number exactly, £432,652 of wow. the budget overspend, which equates to just 0.37% budget overspend. Now, it still would have been classified as a minor overspend, and I assume the penalties may have been less, but the penalties still would have applied. So even if they'd got the admin side correct, they still would have overspent. But by £430,000 rather than nearly £1.9 million.
And that's the bit that I've read that sentence so many times. I've seen some of the best F1 commentators. Some of them have become overnight accountants by the seat. You know, I don't know whether they don't like to admit, you know, that they can't explain this to their, you know, tens of thousands of Twitter followers. I've read that, and I honestly don't understand it. It's to do with tax credits. I don't really understand it yet. But Christian Horner has said, in terms of this, it is very complicated. How have Red Bull reacted in that press conference they called this morning, which is only like 45 minutes ago, so I haven't read Horner's quotes?
Yes, no, as you can probably imagine, they're not happy with the penalties that have come their way. Red Bull team boss Christian Horner has called them draconian to an extent, and massively excessive to the spend, that, and they feel, although begrudgingly they have accepted it, of course, because they had the option not to, they feel that they want to draw a line under 2021 and not drag this process out over what could potentially be another 12 months if it went the other way. So, right. Yeah, they're not happy, but they're begrudgingly taking it. They do have concerns that it will hamper their performance and their progress in the future with the sporting penalty. But far from happy is what you could say. But that was always going to be the case. I don't think anyone was going to be happy with the outcomes here. So, yes, more to come on that front.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Zak Brown said that any possible breach, regardless of the amount, constitutes cheating. That was in a letter that he wrote to the bosses of Formula One and the FIA ahead of COTA. Does this accepted breach agreement effectively admit wrongdoing? And also, the FIA had something to say about Red Bull's intent. Can you fill us in on that?
Yeah, so it was key wording in the report as well, saying there was no signs or evidence of intentional wrongdoing or let's paraphrase, cheating. It was just more of a misunderstanding of, or misinterpreting of, the rules, as well as the administrative errors. Which then, yeah, does sort of contradict the assertions of it constitutes cheating from Zak Brown. But I guess by the letter of the law, they have breached the cost cap. Therefore, it constitutes a type of breaking the rules, intentional or not. You can do that with anything. You can, have broken parts that you may not be allowed to, and the FIA will potentially give you a penalty and then potentially rescind it a few days later, which is what we've also had to deal with over the last week or so with Fernando Alonso and his wing mirrors that got him in trouble, then didn't get him in trouble after the United States Grand Prix. So, yeah, it's one of those. I think you ask Red Bull, they don't see it as cheating, and they will use the reasoning of these financial rules, and the cost cap are very much in their infancy. This is literally the first year they've been applied, so these things are always bound to come up. Horner also said he was almost stunned that none of the other teams fell into this situation of the areas of where they've seen to be overspending, but none of them have. So that's an interesting dynamic as well, sort of assertions of how have they got around it. And it's like, well, at least to our knowledge and the FIA's knowledge, they did not overspend, did not break the cost cap. So
Let's just dig a little bit deeper into this 10% fall in aerodynamic testing applied in relation to Red Bull's wind tunnel time and CFD next year, which, having won the Constructors' Championship, the team was due to get 70% of the seventh-placed team's aerodynamic testing time. That now gets reduced by 10%, so it falls to 63%, as you told us in the intro. If Ferrari and Mercedes keep second and third, they get 75 and 80% of the seventh place team's event, testing time. Do we have a sense yet, and neither you or I are, I'm guessing, many of the listeners, although I know many people who listen to this podcast work in Formula One, so hello aerodynamicists listening to this, but as the majority of us aren't, do we have a sense yet of how much of a punishment it is taking away this testing time from Red Bull?
It very much depends who you ask and where their employment lies in terms of this specific element. But Christian Horner of his team estimates it to cost the team between a quarter of a second to half a second per lap's worth of development into next season. And bearing in mind the fine margins that you have at the front, that's huge. That is a massive potential loss of development of performance. And I guess you could look at it another way. The percentage of aerodynamic testing they're allowed, talk about the 63, the team that finishes last this season will have close to 115, 120%. So that's basically double the amount of time they can spend in a wind tunnel in CFD learning and drawing. So it's, they're like working with half the amount of the last team. Now, that's not to say, of course, that the team that isn't currently in last place is going to overtake the team that's in first place within a year. But the scale of that is huge. So it'll be interesting. We also had some of questions and answers on that before the cost cap even became a factor, saying that sort of the 5-6% difference between the top teams before penalties were applied was only worth one run in the wind tunnel, according to Matteo Binotto for Ferrari. Like that, they were second or one place below, sorry, and that's what they were estimating it to be, which probably equates, they thought at the time, to a tenth of a second per lap in development. So, we are talking margins that will impact next year's championship. But yeah, you're right. The scale of that is difficult to know, depending on how good the teams are at developing their cars. And you're right, our listeners that are aerodynamicists will know and have their own opinions a lot more on what is possible with the amount of time they can have. So, I guess it depends who you ask in terms of the exact numbers.
Okay. Well, I've got two more questions for you. The first one is Aston Martin. They were also fined today, but a lot less than Red Bull, but a lot more than Williams for their procedural breach. Can you fill us in on that one?
Yes, so their total fine was $450,000 for the inaccurate submission within their cost cap. They didn't exceed the cost cap, they made that clear, but the inaccuracies related to their developing their headquarters, so their new facilities, which were just opposite Silverstone, which I was by coincidence driving past on Wednesday and looked and went, blimey, they're big. So
yeah, it's really impressive when you see their new outfit they're building.
Within that they're building a new wind tunnel, they're building a new F1 simulator, and it was all these details that were, say, I guess, on top of the regular cost cap submissions that weren't within what the procedures were required. But again, it should be stated, as we said with Red Bull, that there was no signs of intentional wrongdoing or cheating, let's say. I think this is probably the penalties and the punishments we probably could have predicted at the start of this cost cap saga, because it is the first year of them. These things could happen, these grey areas. People get it wrong. Much like you say with the Williams fine, okay, it was much smaller, but those were the ones that we'll perhaps expect, at least in these early years. If it happens next year and the year after, that would be someone's done this, then they're wrong. Some's wrong and maybe need to speak to their accountants and financial advisors on that one. But the fine, and it's just purely a financial fine. No sporting penalty or otherwise.
As odd as it sounds, $7 million is not a huge amount of money. And I know that sounds utterly bonkers to say. For a team like Red Bull, yes, operating under the budget cap, it's not what McLaren had, which was $100 million and losing all of their constructors' points, the drivers' points stayed. That, I would say, is draconian. Let's finish off by asking about other team bosses. We are recording this as the story is ongoing, but do you know if any of them have responded yet?
I think they're formulating their comments, to put it politely. I do know that from our colleagues in the paddock in Mexico right now, at the time of recording, that the most team bosses are holding off saying anything until they hear from Christian Horner, who, as I said, just spoken now, and then they will give their own reaction. But it will be fascinating. So I definitely encourage all listeners to keep eyes glued on autosport.com and the magazine, of course, next week when it comes out. Because, this all started with accusations of, forced and wild accusations about overspending and reasons behind it. But, yes, it's Red Bull that has copped a penalty, both financial and sporting. And then the other question is, which we will be asked to everyone, and I think you get a different answer from everyone, is it strong enough? Has it been firm enough with the overspend that they've done? It's difficult. Oh. Difficult to say. I think if we're honest and heart of hearts, despite what some of the more aggressive sides of F1 fandom and social media may think, the 2021 results being changed, particularly on the driver's front, was always going to be a long shot, was always going to be incredibly unlikely. The problems that may cause and just the reality of it was unlikely. I think in heart of hearts, this type of penalty of the money and the forward-looking penalty, i.e. the reduction in aerodynamic testing, was much more likely. But whether it's enough?
Yeah.
That's a good question, and it will be fascinating to find. But first of all, we'll only know in the future when we see where Red Bull's car stacks up against the rest as next season progresses. So to fully answer it, stay tuned to the 2023 Formula One season.
Absolutely. Well, Christian Horner spoke for 50 minutes in the end. I did dip into Formula One Twitter and sort of a bit like that meme where someone enters the room and immediately turns around and goes again. I looked at it and the fans were just at each other's throats. And I thought, I'm not ready for this. It's Friday night. I've got FP1 to go watch in a minute. I will. It looked horrible already. And I was like, oh.
Yeah, the one thing we can guarantee is nobody's going to be happy about
No one's
outcome.
Happy with this. So
that, I would argue that maybe that is the right thing, the right outcome, that nobody is happy. The FIA,
well,
they can't please one team and not another, so you might as well just upset all teams.
Everyone's unhappy. Yeah, so let's go and have a motor race this weekend in Mexico.
Exactly.
Brilliant. Hayden, thank you for filling us in. It's an insanely busy day for you, and there's a time difference. And you took 25 minutes to come and explain this to our listeners, and we really appreciate that. Thank you so much for joining us on the Autosport Podcast. That was a pleasure. Tomorrow there'll be the qualifying pod with Luke and Cotters, who are both in the paddock this weekend, and I will see you Sunday with both of those guys. If you are looking out for the podcast as we publish it, it'll be about 4 a.m. on Monday morning, so maybe get up at a reasonable time and listen at your pleasure. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you on the next one.
Mary redeemed a $50,000 cash prize playing Chumba Casino this year.
I was only playing for fun, so winning this was a dream come true.
Chumba Casino is America's number one social casino experience. It's serious fun. With over 80 casino-style games to choose from, you too could win life-changing amounts of cash. Be like Mary. Log on to ChumbaCasino.com and give them a whirl. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void or prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The voice in the preceding commercial was not the actual voice of a winner.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Message and data rates may apply. Guys, got hair loss? I know what you're thinking. Should I shave my head, comb it over, wear a hat? Just stop. This isn't 1970. Keep your hair and your confidence because Bosley, America's number one hair restoration experts, can give you your real hair back permanently. Check them out today because they're giving away an absolutely free information kit and a free gift card to anyone that texts EASY to 203203. Dude, you don't have to look like your dad, because this isn't your dad's hair loss treatment. People all over the country trust Bosley because they're ahead of the curve. They use the latest technology to give you your real hair back. And the best part? Bosley's permanent solution is protected by the Bosley Guarantee. Let Bosley show you for free how awesome your hair could look with an absolutely free information kit and a gift card for $250 off. Text EASY to 203203. That's BASY to 203203.
Sports Social Podcast Network.